Mr. Tom Lister, Reel 1. Could you tell me when and where you were born, Mr. Lister?
I was born in Durham City, not far from where I live now, in a street called Old Elvet.
What was the date?
August 27th, 1919.
And what did your father do for a living?
He was probation officer and agent for the what was then called the Prisoners' Aid Society. It's now welfare.
So he was based at the prison, was Durham Prison?
He lived in the house in Old Elvet near the prison. He went into the prison almost every day. Yeah.
And how many were there in the family?
The father and mother and myself and their younger sister. Just the four of them.
And was it a comfortable upbringing, your early years?
Oh, marvellous. It was a reasonably good job, but it was a very big house. It's still there. It was a very big house, and we were considered by people to be fairly well off. I don't know how you call this middle class in those times. And I went to a kindergarten and a private school and all this business.
Which private school was it?
Well, it's no longer in existence, but it was amalgamated by Bow School, which is sort of a prep school for Durham School.
And do you remember what it was called?
Old Elvet Preparatory School, then it was North Daly School, and then it was taken over by Durham School, which was a junior place for Bow School.
And what kind of a school? You were just a day boy, I presume. It was a day school.
A day boy, yeah.
And what kind of an education did you get there?
It was quite good. I'm afraid I was a lazy pupil. I was more interested in sport from being very small than I was in doing any kind of work. Although I eventually did fairly well in most subjects except mathematics. I'm very hopeless at that.
So, how old were you when you went to that school?
To the kindergarten, from about 4 years old, and then the prep school from 7 years old till I was 11, and then family fortunes wavered and. And instead of going to Durham School, I just went to an ordinary elementary school, which was a disaster. It shattered my morale completely.
What had caused the wavering in the family fortunes?
Well, my mother died, and she was very young, and my father lost interest in the job, I think, and they worked him out. I never did get another full details, but he never worked apparently in any consequence again, you know.
He lost his job at the prisoner's.
Yes, I don't know, because some sort of a note they made him, he gave him a reasonable time, 6 months or something, to sort things out, but he didn't, so he couldn't be bothered. That was it.
Now,
going to a public school, albeit a minor one, I had to sort of start from scratch in an elementary school, and it was entirely different methods.
Which school was that?
It was called the Model School. It's no longer there. Like Wellbeing College.
And what were the differences that you noticed?
Oh, well, I mean, in the private school, you had far fewer pupils to a teacher and a more personal approach. And if you were good at sport, you were encouraged to take part in it. In fact, it was a major fact that when you went to the elementary school, there was three times as many boys in the class. Teachers were of a different calibre altogether. And it was much rougher, you know.
Were you bullied at all?
Oh, I was at first, but I was able to take care of myself once he initially shot at home because I used to play rugby.
That was your sport, was it, rugby?
My main one, and cricket, but rugby was my main one. And you see, the difference there is the private schools and those schools were rugby schools, and it was a soccer school. So they weren't impressed at first, but they managed to cricket myself fairly well with cricket, you know, which I did play. And eventually got quite popular.
It was a tough time from the start.
Certainly, that's the beginning. And I must admit that at home I was spoiled because, as I say, when I was very young, I had masses of Meccano sets and basset loud steam train set up and all this that normal kids never saw, you know. And chemistry sets. And I took an interest in radio, which in those days was anything from a crystal set to a two-valve, you know. And they used to make me on when I was 9 or 10 years old. I was encouraging that by a cousin of mine who was about 6 years older than me. I finished up quite a famous doctor of science, actually. But he was into that sort of thing, and I was fascinated when I was about 11. He built one of the first television sets to receive a picture in the north of England. It was his thumbs in the fair with a fixed screen and a disc with holes in, put at various angles, drilled through. And a sort of a beehive light behind, I can remember this run off the main. And it spun around in a weird control effort, and you got this, like, lines and God knows what, and then a vague picture like an overexposed film, you know.
Now, so you were at that school. When did you leave the model school? How old were you?
We moved up to Winnie Hill Modern School, which had just been built. And I enjoyed it much better there. It was.
Was that the whole school moved up there, or just you? Sorry. Did it change sides?
No, all the from 11 years over, all went up there. And it became entirely a junior school. And the new school was supposed to be the finishing on, you know, 11 to 14. 14 was the school leaving age. It was a nice modern school. They had workshops and woodwork and that sort of thing. Far better set up for sport and things. And good interest of teachers in that sort of thing. So very competitive. Both soccer and rugby, but they had a very good rugby team, and the teacher mainly concerned with them. He was played for very keen, encouraging if you had any talent at all. So it was a reasonably good period as far as I was concerned.
Ha. So you'd been to the model school from what age, that school? You'd after you left prep? Didn't sound like you were there very long.
I was about nine when I left there, went to the model, and then went from the model to the Winnie Hill.
Right. Now, at Winnie Hill, was there any academic that you said you were no good at maths, but were you all right at the other subjects?
Yeah, well, you were in, you were sort of graded there, you were in classes, but you were in a lower grade if you were below par at maths, you were killed in a lower grade, and if you were better in something, you went in a higher grade, and I was always top in the top lot for history and art, and English, but I was in the bottom for maths. I don't think I was really bad at anything except maths. I just couldn't be little. I couldn't be bothered. I used to get in a terrible trouble. I couldn't be bothered with a lot of them, just things like that. I couldn't see the point in them.
What were you planning to do when you left school?
What I wanted to do, my father and mother, when she was alive, were completely opposed to it, was join the Royal Navy, you see. And this thing about the Royal Navy.
What was that from?
Well, I think that sort of fascination came about from the headmistress of the North Bailey School. Had a brother that was a commander in the Royal Navy, and used to come on leave and tell us all these wonderful stories and things like that, and he got impressed, you know, if you were a child, and I used to read a lot of books and about what do you call it? Oh dear.
Anyway. But so that's what you wanted to do. But what happened?
Well, because say, I was expected to go. It was only natural to go and find some work. You know, my father wanted me to be apprenticed to an electrical engineer, and I went to Middlesbrough for me to go to this place, and it was a dingy factory building, and went into the office and met the foreman, who apparently knew my father. And it was a stinking dirty office, and there was sort of a balcony overlooking this workshop floor. It was like, look to me, it was like looking in the jaws of hell, with smoke and sparks and everything. And this foreman bloke said, well, the manager, I think, what he said, so you're the lad that wants to be an electrician. I said, I don't want to be an electrician. I don't have anything to do with it. My father was livid, of course, and tried to persuade me that he wanted me to be a friend. He said, I wouldn't know it. That was it. It's as simple as that. And it would have meant living there in lodgings, you know, when I was only 14 or anything. So I started work as an errand boy.
Who for?
Montague Burton's, a tailor's. I used to take, I used to clean the windows and take handbills out and doors and things. But by the time I was about 15 and a half, the manager, he was an old study, would interest me in measuring people's for trousers or things like that, you know, because he. And then again, he said, I was at school, I was hopeless with maths, but I don't think I was left school more than 6 months when I could work all the affairs of complicated betting odds and things up, because all the blokes I worked with, including the manager, used to send me around the betting shop with bets, and I could work the odds, fight the phone, it became automatic, you know. Or 7-4 or 4-7, you know, it's simple. I really quickly picked them, and even now I can do all kinds of calculations in my head, you know.
So you were, how long you actually went from being errand boy to a salesman in the shop, selling the measuring up?
Yes, and then I was getting a bit fed up with it, and I saw an advertisement in a newspaper for that actually said a young man, 18, 20, to train as a wholesale fish salesman and fly this place at Chisley Street. Well, I wasn't 18 at the time, I was only about 16 now. But I rode through to Chisley Street on a pushback one Wednesday afternoon, it was half day, and saw the manager, and he talked to the manager, and he said, well, he's saying very key. He said, but you're not old enough, I don't think. I said, well, what's the matter with that? If you think I'm capable of doing it, I think I am. So he said, I'll give you a 6 weeks trial. And when it works out, he said, you're okay. He says, I think if you do, he said, you'll probably be expected to go through every stage of business, because this firm was a whole firm. Of trailers and everything, you know, and he said the government is keen to take chaps on with them. It was strange, you know, I've taken it, it was very competitive then. So I did this thing and moved all over the county, sometimes traveling and things, and
So you were selling fish?
Yeah, wholesale.
To fishmongers?
Yes, and fish and chip shops, fried fish shops. And I worked on the fish key at Hartlepool and the new one at Sunderland when it opened, which was a white elephant. And
so you were buying fish as well, were you, from the trawlers?
I wasn't buying, I was we had offices on these people, and I worked from them. As opposed to working from inland offices, you know. And it was.
Were you still living in Durham, though?
Yes, but I did a lot of lodging away. You know, I lodged in Hartlepool. I lodged in Sunderland for a time, and I was actually still in fish trading and living in Hartlepool when I was called. I was in the Terries, but I got my papers to say it as a report.
Now, I'll be coming to that. When you were a boy, had you been in any of the boys' organisations? You know, the boys.
The Scouts. Scouts.
Which troop or pack or whatever?
The 11th Durham Boy Scouts, which was attached to the Elbert Methodist Church. I wasn't a Methodist, but it was just a lot of my friends. In that group, so I joined them.
What kind of activities did you do with them? I mean, was there a military tinge to them?
I suppose there was up to a point, you know, by the uniform, you were expected to keep it smart. And, I mean, you paid your own uniform, you expected to keep it smart, and you did that's to church parades and things like that. But it was a little bit. When you think about it now, with the, you know, at the time it was quite. There was quite a lot of pucks, and some of them were concerned with the issue, some of them pro, but they were quite there, well established and well equipped troops. So when camping, we always had the best sort of gear and everything.
Did you enjoy it?
Oh, I did, yes.
Were you in any other boys' organisations?
Not boys' clubs, National Association of Boys' Clubs. was in when I started work. I was 14 or 15. I was about 14 when I joined the boys.
What did they do?
Oh, well, they had some premises in the marketplace, the rear of some shops, and had table tennis and boxing and an old dirty table. Seeing better days.
Were you still interested in sport? Were you playing rugby or cricket?
I was playing rugby for Durham City 13 when I was 15, I think. And,
did you carry on playing up to the war?
Yes.
So you were quite a fit young chap.
I started off fairly well, but something I didn't manage to. Although I played for a lot of minor teams in minor leagues, so that was one thing or the other. I couldn't tell you. I used to ball a few overs with that. Got a few runs down again. I was good fielder, that was the thing. Never
dropped a catch. Now, what about you said you'd joined the Territorials. When did you join them?
Well, my association with the boys' club influenced me in that direction, plus the fact that I had some friends in the Italian. I joined in 1938.
Do you remember what month?
I think it was April.
And that was the main reason for joining. Your friends were in it, or
yes, quite a few of my friends, and it was a clash of interest there because some of the chaps that had been to private school and they'd gone on to public school and they'd kept up associates were all officers in the TA, and some of the locals and. Quite a number of blokes that I was selling fish to, hawkers and things like that, they were in the tea, you know.
Other ranks?
In the ranks.
Were you aware of the internet? I mean, when you joined, was there any element that you were aware of Germany and sort of coming war?
Well, the boys' club business influenced me there because Major Taylor, who was at that time quartermaster with the 8th Battalion, he was the next regular, the next 2nd Battalion officer, was running the local boys' club scene. And he influenced me a lot because, not being snobbish, but I had perhaps a brighter. Politically, way in that sort of thing, and he used to talk to me, and he said, "This business is going to spill over. We're going to have another war." And he said, "Everybody's laughing," but he said, "No, definitely. I'll give it another 4 years." Well, he was only about 8 months out. But I thought, well, the lads, and he said, "Well, why don't you join me?" He said, "Yeah, I'm sure you'd accept me." So I joined the team.
Where did you go to join?
The drill hall.
Where is the drill hall?
That was the old drill hall, which was at the top of, between Claybath and Jarskin Bank. It's no longer there. The new one is in the vicinity of that, but it's off the road. The old drill hall was typical old-fashioned Victorian drill hall on the front street, and the new one's quite a decent building, set back off the road and over the country.
So what happened when you went to join? That was April 38, you reckon?
I went up, Thursday night was a train years ago. I just wandered in and saw my friends like and one in particular called Ernie Brown. He said, "You're going to join him?" I said, "Aye." He says, he says, you'll have to say, but I saw Major Taylor and he said, "Oh, what are you doing?" I said, "Oh, I've been trying to bother you, just come with me, like you say." So, and that was it, and it was all, I'd have a, not there and then, but several weeks later, and I was already in the theatre. I'd have a medical to say what was fit to be. They didn't do things quite comfortable, but still, that was all right. So.
Did they equip you that first night? Or?
No. I think my first three drills I was wearing the series, then I got some dungarees, it's like boil the jacket and the trousers separate, you know, because then any uniforms. And then when, I don't know where it was, I went to Catholic somewhere and brought it all out again. I got the uniform. That, of course, was the old fashioned, not butler, it's tunic and stripe.
So with puttees and everything?
I got puttees, but just changed over to short puttees.
Now, so what company were you put in?
Headquarters.
And you joined as a private? You didn't have any
private
choice about that, I presume. What was the training they took you through then? You went to one drill night a week on Thursday, did you?
One drill night a week, and so many Saturdays for range.
Well, let's do the drill first. What would you do on a drill night? What did they take you through?
Well, initially, for a week or two, you did basic drill. You know, you didn't have any rifles, and you just marched and counter marched and fell in and fell out. You know, general.
How did you take to drill?
Oh, well enough.
You didn't find it boring?
Well, you find it boring if you've got to do it too long, that's the thing.